إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So to begin by translating the خطبة الحاجة that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to begin with, then indeed all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil effects of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, then there is none who may misguide him. And whomsoever Allah misguides, then indeed there is no guide for him. And those verses, as mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ in his Khutbat al-Hajjah, with the meaning of, O you who believe, fear Allah as He has full right to be feared. And do not die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear Allah, the one who has created you from a single soul, and made from it its partner, and brought out from them many men and women. And fear Allah, the one by whom which you ask, and the wombs. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak only a true statement. He will correct your affairs, He will correct your actions, and He will forgive you of your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then he has attained a great success. And in proceeding, that the best speech is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of affairs is the newly invented matters. And every newly invented matter is an innovation, a bid'ah. And every innovation is misguidance. And every misguidance is in the hellfire. And so to proceed, we'd like to welcome the brothers who are attending with us here in Masjid al-Farisi in the state of Kuwait. May Allah preserve it and protect it from any evil. And likewise for any of our brothers and sisters listening over the Nahjul Radio, Nahjul Wada radio broadcast. So this is the first lesson of our series, Thalathatul Usul, or the three fundamental principles of Islam, by the great Imam, the Reviver, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Rahimahullah. And this first lesson, this is taking place in the 19th of December, that which corresponds with the 27th of Safar. The 27th of Safar, 1436 after the Hijra of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we wanted, before we get into the metan or the text of this tremendous book, we wanted to introduce it with an introduction. So this lesson will be an introductory lesson on the importance of having the correct aqidah. For indeed this book, by this Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, it is from those tremendous books of aqidah in Islam. It clarifies the correct aqidah as was upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. So indeed, we'll start this introduction by mentioning that we were indeed created for a noble purpose. We were created by a great purpose by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he said in his noble book, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which means, and I have not created the jinn and mankind except to worship me. I have not created the jinn and mankind except to worship me. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his virtue upon us and his mercy upon us, he has informed us of our purpose in life. Indeed, he has informed us so we may be upon clarity and we may be upon guidance and we will not be upon the ways of the millions and billions of people not upon this guidance. Those people that ask themselves and ask each other, why am I here? Why are we here? They are in a state of confusion and they agitate themselves in seeking for this answer. But indeed the answer is clear and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us, our Creator has informed us why we are here. So it is upon us to submit to that and proceed upon that as long as we live. And indeed, knowing this noble position in life and purpose in life, then that alone is not enough for us to be successful. We must not merely know it, but we must know how to act upon this responsibility correctly. And the Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, as we will study in greater detail later in his book, he mentioned a beautiful statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَنَا وَرَزَقَنَا وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. So he said, rahimahullah, indeed Allah, he created us and he provided for us, but he did not leave us heedlessly. He did not leave us heedlessly. Rather, he sent to us a messenger. So likewise, this is further blessing from Allah. This is further virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, that he didn't leave us to try and figure out how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Rather, he sent us a messenger in order for us to know how to do that. He sent for us a messenger to know how to worship him and what is obligatory upon us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed he did this and sent these messengers to every ummah, every nation. As he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he said in his noble book, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اِعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which means, and indeed we have sent to every ummah, to every nation, a messenger, ordering that they must worship Allah alone and abandon all taghut, all those which are worshipped along with Allah without due right. So indeed, Allah sent the Khatim al-Nabi'een, the seal of the prophets, to our ummah. This ummah of Islam, the ummah of the Muslims, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah sent him with the revelation. With revelation from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from above the seven heavens. And this revelation, as we know, It is of two parts, that the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consists of the Qur'an, which is the speech of Allah, and it is not created, that Allah spoke it, and Jibreel, the angel, alayhi salam, heard it, and conveyed it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, from the revelation of Allah is the sunnah. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is likewise the revelation of Allah, and it is not something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came up with or spoke of from his own desires. As Allah said, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. That he does, as Allah said, which means, and he does not speak from his own desires. Indeed, it is only a revelation which is revealed to him. So, this Qur'an and Sunnah, this is the essence of knowledge in Islam. This is the essence of knowledge of Islam. And when we say the Sunnah in a general way, then it is everything that the Prophet ﷺ came with. So when we ascribe ourselves to be people of the Sunnah, then this means that we are followers of the Qur'an and the Sunnah and everything which that necessitates. So as comes in the Qur'an and Sunnah, that we must obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and we must do that upon the correct understanding of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and we will get to that in greater detail in the coming minutes, inshallah. So this last and final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed this is the final revelation which nothing else is accepted besides it. Nothing else is accepted by Allah except this final revelation of Allah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah said in the Qur'an, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Indeed, the true religion with Allah is al-Islam. Indeed, the true religion with Allah is Islam. And when we look at the details of this Islam, and what Islam orders us with, and how we must act in accordance with Islam, then we find that the risala, or the message that the Sunni is to be upon in his life, this person of Sunnah, the one that acts upon the Qur'an and acts upon the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then indeed his mission in this life is ihya as-sunan wa imatatul bid'ah. It is ihya as-sunan wa imatatul bid'ah. So indeed he is to constantly strive to revive the authentic sunan, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is to strive to destroy and wipe out any bid'ah, any innovations in this religion of Islam which are not from it. And we will discuss more details about this. So this process of ihya as-sunan, reviving the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we must recognize what is the ra's al-amr, what is the head or main point, the pinnacle of being upon the sunnah. Then indeed it is actualizing tawheed. It is actualizing the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the main foundational da'wah that all of the prophets and messengers were upon. And no one's dawah is correct, no one's call is correct in how to implement Islam if it has khalal, or if it has deficiency in calling to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from those proofs of the importance of this tawheed, and that our belief in tawheed must be correct, is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said previously, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created the jinn and mankind except to worship me alone. And likewise the statement of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. that which means, and indeed we have sent to every nation a messenger ordering to worship Allah and abandoning all taghut, all of those false deities which are worshipped falsely. So this is the first and foremost point of sunnah which the believer, the Sunni, the Muslim must strive to actualize. Likewise, upon the Sunni is to strive towards imatatul bid'ah, that he strives towards negating and eliminating all innovation in the religion which is not from it. As the Prophet ﷺ said, as has come in Khutbatul Hajjah, as we mentioned previously, وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the worst of affairs are the newly invented matters. That he said that which means the worst of affairs are the newly invented matters. So the Prophet ﷺ used to repeat this constantly, repetitively, in his khutb, whenever he would give his khutbatul hajjah, whether it was on Jummah, whether it was for a marriage, he was known to recite this khutbatul hajjah, constantly warning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum against bid'ah. And what's important that we recognize and realize that the Prophet ﷺ used to do this in a time when there was no bid'ah around. There was no innovation in the religion of Islam, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ during his life. And none of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ fell into any bid'ah. Not even one of them is known to participate in any innovation. And this is due to the beautiful and perfect cultivation of the Prophet ﷺ for his companions. So as the times progress and the situation becomes more confusing to the Muslims, then it is upon them to strive even harder to keep their religion pure and free from any bid'ah, any innovation. So likewise, the Prophet ﷺ, in addition to warning against bid'ah, he warned against Ahl Bidah. He warned against the people of innovation and desires. As this comes in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that there will come a people, تَتَجَارَ بِهِمُ الْأَهْوَى كَمَا يَتَجَارُ الْكَلَبُ فِي صَاحِبِ. That there will come a people that the ahwa, the innovations and desires, will flow through them just like rabies flows through the one infected by it. Just as rabies flows through the one who is infected by it. And there will not be a vein or a joint except that it enters it. So look at the detailed description of the Prophet ﷺ for the people of innovations and desires. That their ahwa, their desires and their bid'ah flow through them just like rabies, as the rabies infects the one who is infected by it. So this indeed is a description that should make any Muslim be put off and make any Muslim want to stay far away from being described with this type of sickness and this type of disease. And from those bid'ah, that which is the worst affair of bid'ah, and the pinnacle of bid'ah is indeed shirk. That shirk which is associating partners in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a dangerous affair. Indeed, shirk is a dangerous affair and it should not be taken lightly by any Muslim. As Allah warned in His noble book, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. He said that which means, indeed, whoever associates partners in worship with Allah, then indeed Allah has made Jannah haram for him. Indeed Allah has made Jannah haram for him, prohibited. He will be prevented from Jannah. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. And his end place of abode will be the hellfire, and the ظالمين, the oppressors, will not have any aids. The oppressors will not have any to aid them. So this shows the danger of falling into shirk, from falling into worshipping others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, we will study this in greater detail as we progress in the book by Allah's permission. Likewise, Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That indeed Allah does not forgive that partners be associated with Him in worship, but He forgives whatever is less than that to whomever He wills. He forgives whatever is less than that to whomever He wills. So in this verse, we learn and benefit that the person of shirk, that they will not be forgiven. Allah says He will not forgive those who make shirk with Him. And likewise, we benefit from this hadith, the virtue of tawheed, that whoever has not committed shirk, that Allah will forgive what is less than that for whomever He wills. Allah will forgive whatever is less than that for whomever He wills. So indeed, this risala of the Sunni, as pointed out by our Shaykh Muhammad Al-Anjari, and summarized in this beautiful way, that his mission is that he strives to revive the Sunnah, and the head of Sunnah, or the most important point of Sunnah, is Tawheed, and likewise he strives for Imatatul Bid'ah wa Ra'sul Bid'ah Ash-Shirk, that he strives to eliminate and destroy all innovations in the religion, and the worst, most terrible heads of innovation and Bid'ah is Shirk. So continuing, the Muslim must want to know and needs to know how to remain upon this path. How can one be safe with all of these dangers of shirk, these dangers of bid'ah? How can the Muslim remain upon salama? How can he remain upon safety and security? Indeed, we have the Prophet, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clear guidance. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, taraktukum ala al-bayda layluha kanahariha la yazigu anha illa halik. That he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which means, I have left you upon clarity. It's night, it's like it's day, meaning it is easy and so clear to differentiate truth from falsehood. Yani, it's so clear to differentiate and recognize that this is the truth due to its clarity. So he said, its night is like its day. No one deviates from it except that he's destroyed. No one deviates from it, from this clarity, except that he is destroyed. So from these proofs that the Prophet ﷺ has given us, due to the revelation of Allah or through the revelation of Allah, is his statement sallallahu alaihi wasallam, khayrun nas qarni thumma alladhina yalunahum thumma alladhina yalunahum. That he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the best of mankind are my generation, then those who come after them, and those who come after them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informing us who are the best of generations. Who are the most pure generations upon the clarity, upon the revelation as it was revealed? Then it is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and those who came after them, and those who came after them. So indeed, it is upon anyone, any Muslim, and especially a person of Sunnah, if he wants to be upon this way, upon this khayriya, upon this goodness, then he should be upon their way, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed us in the tremendous hadith in which he drew a line, خَطَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَطًّا مُسْتَقِيمًا, that he drew a straight line in the ground. And then he drew on its right and on its left other lines. And he pointed to the middle line and said, هَذَا صِرَاطُ اللَّهِ, that this is the straight path of Allah. And on the other sides, the right and left sides, and he said, هذه السبل على كل سبيل شيطان يدعو إليه. That he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and these are the other paths. Upon each path is a shaitan calling to it. Upon each path is a shaitan calling to it. So this shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path is one. The truth is one. And we must beware of every other path which is split away from that one main correct path that has a shaitan calling to it. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ, he warned us of this great differing that we see. This great differing that we have seen from these many paths. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةُ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. So he said that whoever lives long after me, then he will see great differing. He will see great amount of differing. So upon you is to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of my rightly guided, upright khulafa after me. So the Prophet ﷺ, again in this hadith, he's clearly mentioning that which would occur in the ummah, amongst the Muslim nation, from the differing and ikhtilaf that would occur due to this bid'ah. And he prescribed for us and informed us of that which is the treatment for it. He said, upon us is to follow his sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided, upright khulafa. And this is understood, of course, to be that which the Sahaba were upon. That which the Sahaba were upon, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he did not restrict this specifically, or this hadith is not restricted to the virtue of only the four known khulafa, but likewise, this hadith is a hath, it's an encouragement and an order to follow that which the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were upon in general. Likewise, another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ clarified to us, and when we mention these ahadith and read these ahadith, then we must remember that this is from the sunnah. This is from the revelation of Allah. And it is from Allah's wisdom that he revealed this to the Prophet ﷺ. And it is not for us to only hear about and learn about from an academic type of angle. That it is a historical reference type of study. But no, we study this wahi, we study this revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we may act upon it. So we may purify ourselves to the best of our abilities, and so we may implement them to get to Allah's Jannah and be saved from His hellfire. So indeed, another hadith is how the Prophet ﷺ informed us that the Yahud split into 71 sects, fil ahwa, that they split into 71 sects upon innovations and desires. And the Christians and Nasara split into 72 sects upon innovations and desires, fil ahwa. وَسَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى 73 فَرْقًا فِالْأَهْوَى. And that this ummah will split into 73 sects upon ahwa, upon innovations and desires. كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا. All of them will be in the hellfire except for one. All of them will be in the hellfire except for one. So from the hirs of the Sahaba, from the striving of the Sahaba to be upon goodness, and to act upon the revelation, and to benefit from the revelation, they asked the Prophet ﷺ, who are them? Who is that firqatun najiyah? Who is that saved sect that will be free from these innovations and desires, and thus free from the hellfire? So the Prophet ﷺ said, as has come in different authentic ahadith, and there are various meaning wordings of the ahadith, and the meanings of them are all agreed, that the Prophet ﷺ said, that which I am upon today and my companions. That which I am upon today and my companions. And in some of the narrations he said, Al-Jama'i. And when he explained the Jama'i, who is the Jama'i? The Prophet ﷺ said, those whom I am upon today and my companions. So this is the path. This is that one path, which is the path of the aided group and the firqatun najiyah, the saved sect. So this is what is obligatory upon every Muslim and Muslimah to strive to be upon. This is the straight path, this clear path of Salafiyah. This is the path of Salafiyah. This is the path of Sunniyah. And there is no difference in the path in saying Sunniyah and Salafiyah. For indeed, the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, it necessitates, if one sticks to it correctly, that he follows the path of the Salaf. So, Salafiyah, then this means it's an ascription to the Salaf. It is an ascription to those who have preceded. Those who have preceded us upon righteousness. So, who are our predecessors? Who preceded us upon righteousness? Then indeed, it is the Prophet ﷺ, first and foremost. And then, at the heads of the Salaf likewise, are his companions, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and then the Imams of the Tabi'een, and then the Imams of the Atba'i Tabi'een, those who followed the Sahaba, and the students of the students of the Sahaba, and then every one who is upon that correct way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions in every generation thereafter. In every generation thereafter. So this is the correct path. And we must recognize that this path is clear and apparent. It's clear and apparent for whoever seeks to find it with sincerity. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين. That there will not cease to be a group from my people, or a group from my ummah, clearly apparent upon the truth. Clearly apparent upon the truth. So this is how the Prophet ﷺ described the people of truth, that they are apparent. They are ظاهر. They are known and able to be recognized. And they're not people that are hidden away, and they're not people that cannot be found, but rather the people of truth, they continue to proclaim the truth and teach the truth, and this is the guidance of those sincere people of knowledge, those truthful ones who adhere to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions throughout every generation. And indeed they will not be harmed by those who oppose them, nor those who do not aid them. And this is a heavenly guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as revealed to the Prophet ﷺ and conveyed from the Messenger of Allah. لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم. That they will not be harmed by those who do not aid them, nor those who oppose them. So this is the one straight path. And this is not a path which a Muslim may choose to follow or to not follow. Meaning that this is the path which is obligatory. Someone may choose other than this path, but they have no right to. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened whoever opposed the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions in the tremendous verse in which he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. That he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which means, and whoever splits away and goes against the messenger, after the guidance has been made clear to him, and follows a path other than that of the believers. And follows a path other than that of the believers, and the believers is the Sahaba. The believers, as was revealed in the Quran, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, these were the Sahaba. So whoever splits away and goes against the messenger, after the truth has been made clear to him and follows a path other than that of the believers, meaning of the Sahaba, then we will leave him to that which he has chosen and roast him in the hellfire. What a terrible destination. And what a terrible destination that is. So indeed, this is a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whoever chooses to split away and go against the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions after the truth has been made clear to him. After the truth has been made clear to him. So it is upon the Muslim and upon the person of Sunnah to be patient upon this way. And they seek knowledge upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were upon. And what the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were upon. And it is through their guidance that we may learn the correct aqidah. That we may learn to be from the people of truth. We may learn to be from the people of sunnah. And we may be far away from any of those innovated jama'at, those innovated Islamic political groups and parties that might falsely claim to represent Islam, or falsely claim to represent the sunnah, or falsely claim even to represent Salafiyah. So any of these innovated groups and parties which are apparent in our times, whether it be Daesh or ISIS, or whether it be Jabhat al-Nusra, or whether it be the Jama'at Tabligh, or whether it be Ikhwan al-Muslimin or any of their sects that represent them, or whether it be any of the other Sufiya, those who have inhiraf in the Tawheed of Allah, who have distortion in their belief of Tawheed, or whether it be Lakshar Taiba, or any of these Islamic innovated political groups and parties, then the people of Sunnah must be far removed from them. And our call, as we mentioned, is to revive the Sunnah, call the people back to what the Prophet ﷺ was upon, and the head of that is Tawheed. And we warn the people from all of these innovated groups and parties and sects, and what they are upon from deviations from the truth. And we warn from shirk, which indeed is the greatest, most terrible bid'ah. So this differing that we find, then, this indeed is from which the Prophet ﷺ informed us would happen. And قَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ, that the statement of Allah is true, and that which he reveals to the Prophet ﷺ is the truth. So it is upon us to be persistent upon that way, and we remain far from anything which opposes it. And in going forward, in studying these issues of aqidah throughout this lesson, then we must recognize that the aqidah, learning the correct belief that the Muslim must be upon as revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there are three main principles, or three main aspects to remember when we study these issues. As Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, as he repeated these issues in his book, Usul al-Sunnah, in his book, Foundations of the Sunnah, which he authored takriban approximately 1,200 years ago, when this book was narrated by him, then indeed, that which he focuses on is having iman. So often we find that he says, "Well, imanu bihi," that you have iman in these aspects of the aqidah, of the unseen. And we have tasdiq, that we affirm the truthfulness of that which has come, everything that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the unseen, then we submit to it, and we do not have any doubt in it. And likewise, the third thing which Imam Ahmad mentioned was tark al-mukhasama and tark al-mujadala, that we abandon arguing with those people who have innovated in it. So those people that have deviated, then we do not argue with them and we do not debate with them. So rather we are persistent, and the Muslim and the Sunni must be persistent upon this way and upon submission to the texts. And indeed, this is how we attain success. Indeed, this is how we attain success. So this is what we wanted to mention regarding the brief introduction to the importance of having the correct Islamic aqidah, the correct Islamic belief and creed, and how the Muslim must remain upon this way, and how the Prophet ﷺ advised us and guided us to that which is the way to achieve this. And that, of course, is remaining upon the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the guidance of his companions. Insha'Allah, we will continue these lessons. The announcement for it will be forthcoming through the Twitter accounts for the Idha'a Nahj al-Wadih. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.